Title of this message is Extreme Makeover, Being the New You, and this is part two. Extreme Makeover, Being the New You. Last week, I guess you could have titled it or subtitled it, The Gentiles Walk in the Futility of Their Mind. So let's go back and read our text first, and we'll just start there. Ephesians chapter 4, Ephesians 4, starting in verse 17. Paul, writing to the church of Ephesus, he says this, Ephesians 4, verse 17. Now this I say, and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But this is not the way you learn Christ, assuming that you have heard about Him and were taught in Him as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. This is God's holy word. Last week I gave you an outline of our text in verse 17 and 18. Verses 17 and verse 18 give us seven characteristics of the Gentile walk, the type of walk that Paul's telling his readers to no longer walk. The first one is they walk in the futility of their own minds, and that's where we camped out last week. The second one, they walk in the darkness of their own understanding. Third, they walk in alienation from the life of God. Fourth, they walk in their own ignorance. Fifth, they walk in the hardness of their own heart. Sixth, they walk in calloused shamelessness. And seven, they walk in sensuality and impurity. The Gentiles walk, as we saw last time, in the futility of their own minds. And Paul is telling his readers to no longer walk that way. No longer walk in the futility of your minds. Paul is now telling us to be who we've been made in Christ. Be who we are in Christ. But it's not just Paul. It's in the Lord that he's speaking. Paul is not just giving his opinion. He's emphasizing the vital importance of what he's about to say in the Lord. Paul has a deep and divine burden to impress upon his readers the extreme necessity, based on their extreme makeover, of an impacting change in their manner of living, in their manner of life. It wasn't enough that they just received new life. It was also vital for them to live the new life, to walk out that life that has been given to them. It wasn't enough that they just received new life, but they had to live it. We are saints who have been taken out of the world for a specific task. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And John 3, verse 17 says, "For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him." We're taken out of the world not so that we can be raptured out of the world, but so that we could be transformers of the world. We could transform the world through Christ. We are in the world, but not of the world. We are not to be imitators of the world, but transformers of the world. We are to be world changers, not just worldly. We should be the ones who shape the culture, not the ones who are shaped by the culture. Paul says that we have had an extreme resurrection makeover, and we should no longer walk as the Gentiles do. In the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, we ought to stand out as children of God and not blend in and fit in as little lights under our little basket of choice. The Gentiles who Paul was writing to were no longer Gentiles. So he's telling them to no longer walk as the Gentiles walk, no longer think like the Gentiles think. To be a Gentile meant to be out of covenant with God. Israel was saved by grace, not race, by grace alone. It wasn't their blood that made them a special people. They were fallen sons of Adam, born in sin and under the Adamic curse. The only thing that set them apart from other nations was God's free and sovereign grace in making a covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Paul uses the term Gentile to mean someone who is not in covenant with God. That's why he's telling the Gentiles to no longer walk as Gentiles. No longer walk as the Gentiles walk. It was not Israelite blood that made an Israelite an Israelite. It has always been the atoning and substitutionary blood of Christ to which the Old Testament sacrifices were a type. Even in the Old Testament, not all Israel was Israel. Not all Israel was Israel, even in the Old Testament. There has always been Israelites who were non-covenant people or Gentiles. When an Israelite disobeyed God and rebelled against the covenant, rebelled against the stipulations of the covenant, they were cut off. They were cut off from the covenant people of God. They became Gentiles. An unfaithful Israelite became a non-covenant Gentile. So Paul is telling the former Gentiles to stop acting like Gentiles. Stop it. Stop acting like a Gentile. You're no longer that. Paul in Ephesians is writing to former Gentiles who are now by the blood of Christ, in Christ, and in covenant. They were once separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, as we saw in chapter 2 of Ephesians. They once had no hope, and they were without God in the world. But now they have been given sanctuary access. They've been granted access into the holy place, and they have covenant status. They were lost, and now they have been found. And the first thing Paul tells his readers is to not walk like the Gentiles in the futility of their minds. Paul says in Romans 1 that man is not neutral. It is because he doesn't honor God that he becomes futile in his thinking, and his foolish heart is darkened. Psalms 111 verse 10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding. His praise endures forever." And Proverbs 1:7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction." If there is no fear of the Lord, if there is no fear of the Lord, there will be no wisdom and there will be no knowledge. No fear, no wisdom, no knowledge. Claiming to be wise, they became fools. Proverbs 14:1, "The fool says in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They are abominable deeds. There is none who does good." The unbeliever has the evidence. He has enough evidence to know that God exists. He just suppresses that truth. He suppresses that truth in unrighteousness. It's not that the so-called atheist doesn't see God, but rather that he hates God. He doesn't like God. There is no such thing as an atheist. There are only anti-theists. Atheists say they don't believe in God. I say, and Paul says, that I don't believe in atheists. I don't believe in atheists. It's not that they don't believe in God, because they do. They suppress that truth. Paul says in Romans 1, 19 through 20, "For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them, for his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world, in the things that have been made, so they are without excuse." It's not that they don't believe in God, it's that they hate God and suppress the truth about God in unrighteousness. The fear of the Lord, the fear of the Lord, not the facts, not the evidence, not reason, not logic, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge. It is only when you begin with the fear of the Lord that you can rightly use facts and evidence and reason and logic. So Paul tells his readers, you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. As I said last week, unbelievers, or more accurately, unwilling to believers, really do believe in God. They just hate him. There's no neutrality. Jesus said, "Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters." No neutral ground in our world. Paul says that Gentile thinking is stinking thinking. They walk in the futility of their minds. They act as if they're neutral, and they act as if life had meaning. They act as if life had significance to them. They act as if it was if there was such a thing as morality. They are the real hypocrites, and we talked about that last time. They are the ones who borrow our worldview in order to try to destroy our worldview. They ask, how could a God who is all sovereign and all loving allow evil to happen in the world? And by asking that question, they're borrowing from our worldview of good and evil. We are no longer to walk as if we had the mind of futility. We've been given the mind of Christ, and we need to act like it. We need to think like it. We must destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Our minds and thoughts are either hostile to Christ or captive to Christ. That was 2 Corinthians 10:5, by the way. Destroy every argument and every lofty opinion, and take every thought captive. You will have the mind of Christ or the mind of futility. The mind of Christ or the mind of futility. We cannot have a Gentile mindset or a Gentile worldview. So let's go further in our text in verse 18. Paul, speaking to the Gentiles, the former Gentiles, says they are speaking about the Gentiles. He says they are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. He's telling former Gentiles to no longer walk as Gentiles who are darkened in their understanding. No longer walk like the Gentiles who are darkened in their understanding. Again, Psalms 11:10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding. That's why the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge and understanding. Paul says that Gentiles, non-covenant members, are darkened in their understanding. And he's telling his readers to no longer walk in the darkness. Don't walk anymore in the darkness of your understanding. The Gentiles walk in darkness. The phrase should hit home to us. This phrase still makes sense to us in our culture. There are people who just want to stay in the dark, right? They just would rather stay and remain in the dark. They want to remain ignorant. They don't want to know what they know. They suppress the truth. They want to act as if they don't know. They want to act as if they don't know. Unbelievers, Paul says, suppress the truth. Gentiles suppress the truth that has been shown to them. For what can be known about God is plain to them because God has shown it to them. Now Paul is telling his readers to no longer walk as those who suppress the truth. He's telling them not to walk in the darkness of their understanding. Paul is telling them that they have been blessed with the light of Christ, the light of the gospel, and the light of God's law shining on them, shining on their world, shining on their life and their thoughts. They've had that light shine. You, Paul says, must no longer walk as if you were children of darkness. You must not walk like you were still in the dark. You cannot act as if you don't know what you know. Stop pretending that you don't know. Walking in the darkness of your understanding is not an option for us. There are so many baptized believers who still want to walk in the dark. They want to walk or act as if they don't understand what they're doing. They want to walk as if they don't know what is right and what is wrong. Paul tells them, no longer walk like that. No longer act like that. No longer think like that. He's telling them and us to no longer act as if we do not understand. You can no longer walk as the Gentiles walk in the darkness of their understanding. You have had the light shine. You know who you are. You've had the light of light shine on the world. You have a new worldview. No longer can you act as if you don't have that new view. You must not act as if you don't know who you are in Christ. You have to live in such a way that shows that you do know. You can't stay in the dark, hiding in the dark, hiding in the darkness of your own understanding. You cannot and must not suppress that truth. You've been given it, and now you must start living it. Paul says, don't walk that way. We've all heard and practiced the phrase, ignorance is bliss, right? As long as I don't know, I'm not responsible. Paul says, no, you do know. Don't act, don't walk as if you still believed that ignorance is bliss. You've had the blessings and the light of Christ shined upon you, lavished upon you, and you can no longer act as if you don't know how to walk. You can no longer walk unworthy as children of the darkness. You are children of the light, and you must walk in the light. Philippians chapter 2, verse 14 through 15 says this, "Do all things without grumbling or questioning, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God, without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world." If we are children of God, we need to act like children of God. We cannot blend in and fit in with a crooked and twisted generation. We can't blend in and fit in with a crooked and twisted generation. We must not grumble or question. We must be blameless and innocent because we are now children of God. We must not hide in the dark. We must shine as lights in the world. You cannot be a light when you're hiding in the dark. You can't claim that you don't understand or that you don't know. You do know. You know right from wrong. It's written down for you in black and white. You have a conscience that has been resurrected by the resurrected blood of Christ. You cannot claim ignorance or darkness of understanding. This is what Paul is saying in our text. He's saying that we have come out of the world and out of darkness. Now it's time to shine in the world and no longer walk in darkness. He says, "Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding." We have no excuse for walking in the dark. We are children of the light, and we must walk in the light. Even when you are lost and unredeemed, Paul says in Romans 1, as we saw, you are without excuse. It's easy for us to claim or act as if we don't get it. We want to still walk like the Gentiles walk. We want to go back into the darkness of our understanding. Paul says that we can no longer do that. That is not an option. You are now sons and daughters of God. You are no longer cursed sons of Adam. So start acting like it. Start living like you are in covenant. You've taken on the name of God. You've taken His name by joining Him in covenant, by being baptized in the triune name. You need to start living like it, because that otherwise you're taking His name in vain. Start acting like children of the light. Children of the light are those who shine in the darkness. We are not those who hide in the darkness, but shine in the darkness. It's so easy to just find a shadow and to hide in it. It's easy to hide in the dark. We act like Jonah in the bottom of the boat, thinking we are hiding and thinking no one sees and no one knows. God knows, and even the other passengers on the boat knew that something was wrong. What we do and how we behave affects our sphere of influence. You can no longer walk as the Gentiles walk. You can no longer think like the Gentiles think. There's no neutrality. You are either in the dark or you're in the light. You're either in the dark or you're in the light. No neutrality. We've been taken out of darkness and into His marvelous light. In fact, Jesus made this clear in Matthew 5, verse 14 through 17. He said, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." As I said before, we should be the ones who shape the culture, not the ones who are shaped by the culture. In the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, we ought to stand out as children of God and children of the light, not blend in and fit in under our basket. Paul says that we have been given this extreme resurrection makeover, and we should no longer walk as the Gentiles do. You can no longer walk as the Gentiles walk. You must walk in the light. That means some people will be offended. When you walk in the light, you're going to offend people. Some people will be offended by your choices. Some people will be offended by how you live. Because when you walk in the light, you offend those who are still hiding in the darkness. You are offensive because you won't play the game. The game is that I can't see you and you can't see me. That's the game we like to play. I'm okay, you're okay. Paul says, don't act like you're still in the dark. Don't walk like you're still in the darkness of your understanding. Don't act as if you're still stupid and ignorant. It's It's stupid to live this short vapor of a life as though eternity didn't matter. That's just dumb. To live it this short life as though eternity didn't matter. Eternity is a long time. If you choose to walk in darkness here and now, you'll be stuck in darkness for all eternity. If you choose to walk in darkness here and now, you're going to stay there. This is what Paul was talking about in his letter, or Peter rather. This is what Peter was talking about in his letter, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 through 12. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they do speak evil against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. Unquote. Paul says that because of this, we must no longer walk in the darkness of our understanding. Once we are saved and redeemed, choose to hide in the dark. We choose to walk and live in darkness. We choose to keep our understanding in the dark, even though we have had the light and we are children of the light. Paul says, don't live like that. Don't choose to be ignorant. Don't choose to stay in the dark. Don't act like you are still without God and without hope in the world. We are different, and our lives should show it. We are different because we have God and we have hope. We are not without God and without hope. So our life, our actions, our choices, our thinking should reflect that change in our life. We should no longer walk in the darkness of our understanding. Paul says, don't do it. You have no excuse. The light has shined in your life. You have been given the light, so it's time for you to start walking in the light and being a light. You're in the light, so stop acting like you're in the dark. It's not enough to be rescued out of darkness. We must also walk in the light. We are called to be salt and light in the world. Jesus tells us to not put our light under a basket. He says to let your light shine so that others can see your good works and glorify God. They see your good works, not give glory to you, not so that you get the glory, but so that God gets the glory. There's no neutral ground. Everyone who does wicked things hates the light. John 3, verse 20 says this. Everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. No neutrality. You either love the light or you hate the light. If you're in the light, if you're children of the light, start acting like it, because you either love the light or you hate it. Paul is saying that we can no longer walk or think as if our light was covered by a basket. Your life is meant to shine. We must live in such a way that others can see the light and glorify our God in heaven. The goal is not to bring glory to you because you're so good. Jesus says, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. So quit acting like you're in the dark. Quit acting stupid. Quit claiming ignorance. Quit acting like you don't know what you're supposed to do. Quit acting like you don't know the will of God. People try to say they are just waiting to find the will of God for their life. We've been given the inspired and inerrant Word of God. It's in our language. It's clearly written for us to read. We all have this book. We have it written out. The canon has been closed. We have the whole thing right here. We have God's holy, inspired, infallible, and inerrant Word. We can read it. We can see it. We must not act like we still are darkened in our understanding. Romans 12:2, again, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. We have been taken out of the dark and given the light of God's Word, so we need to start acting like we have it. We can't act as if we don't know what we now know. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 5 through 6 says, "For you are all children of the light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober." Gentiles walk in the futility of their own minds, and they live that way because their understanding is darkened. Paul says that we must no longer walk as if that were still true of us. Darkness can no longer be our excuse for living on the dark side. You are children of the light, and you are in the light. Who you are and what you do and how you think is supposed to be seen by the world, so that they could bring glory to the Father. How you live and how you think is supposed to bring glory to God. If you are thinking and living in such a way that you are hiding in the dark, you are not bringing glory to God. As the great theologians, newsboys say, shine, make them wonder what you got, make them wish that they were not on the outside looking bored. Let it shine before all men, let them see good works, and then let them glorify the Lord. Man and his mind is born in sin. Sin affects our entire being, including our mind and our thinking. In theology, that's called the noetic effects of sin, that sin infected our mind as well. Romans 1:21 says, "For although they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Even though all men clearly know there is a God, they do not honor or give thanks to Him." The fall into sin has caused mankind to ignore and deny their Creator. Sin has affected our minds and causes our thinking to become futile and our understanding to be darkened. When we are in the dark, we cannot see the light, but when we are in the light, Paul says that we must not walk as if we're in the dark. Psalms 36:9 says, "For with you is the fountain of life. In your light do we see light." Psalms 119, verse 105 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." His word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Our understanding has been given the light of God's holy word and His Holy Spirit. We have no excuse for still walking like the Gentiles walk, in the darkness of our understanding. The desperate condition of Gentiles outside of Christ is that they are darkened in their understanding. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 through 16 says this, "The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them, because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." Unquote. Paul said back in Ephesians 2:3 that we are all by nature children of wrath. We once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind. Now, he is saying, no longer walk like that. You are not Gentiles any longer. Stop acting like Gentiles. When sin came into the world, lights went out in our head. When sin came in the world, lights went out in our heads. We became futile in our thinking, and our foolish hearts were darkened. We inherit this spiritual darkness of mind from Adam. When we are reborn and remade in the second Adam, Jesus, we are taken out of the darkness and into the light. Our lives will either celebrate this light or hide it. Gentiles not only walk in the dark, they also party in the dark. They love the dark. Again, John 3:19-20 says that people love the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. Paul says, don't live that way. Don't think that way. Don't walk around with a darkened understanding. 1 John 1:7. "But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." Paul in our text goes on to say, they are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. Paul says that we should walk worthy and not walk like the Gentiles walk, who are alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them. And the ignorance is there because of their hardness of heart. Ignorance is a result of a hardened heart. Our life should not look like the life of those who are alienated from the life of God. Gentiles are alienated from the life of God. They are dead in their trespasses and sins. They lack new life from God. Becoming a saint with sanctuary access is not a matter of eliminating sinful behavior and replacing it with moral behavior, although that does follow. Being a saint is a matter of receiving new life from God. And Jesus said, whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Your life should not reflect death. You shouldn't fit in with those who are alienated from the life of God. You must be the new you. They are alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them. For most people, being called ignorant is even worse than being called a sinner. But Paul says that ignorance and sin cannot be separated. Without Christ, people are always learning and never able to arrive at a knowledge of the truth. 2 Timothy 3:7. Why? Because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Dead men don't learn. They are alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them. Ignorance may be bliss, but it means death. Intellectual futility and foolishness is sin's penalty. The Gentiles are excluded and separated and alienated from the life of God. Paul used the same word in Ephesians 2, verse 12, when he said, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Now he's telling them to stop acting as if that was still true, as if that was where they still were at. Stop thinking and walking like Gentiles who are alienated from the life of God. Stop living blindfold in a world of illusion and cut off from the life of God. Two causes are given for their alienation, ignorance and hardness of heart. And of course, hardness of heart is the ultimate cause and reason. The same Greek word for alienated is used in the Septuagint version of Psalms chapter 58, verse 3, which says, the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray from birth, speaking lies. They are alienated from the womb. The wicked are alienated from the womb. That's the same word. The wicked are alienated and estranged from birth. Their lawlessness and rebellion are inborn, so that as soon as men begin to talk, they begin to lie. It says, the psalmist says, the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray from birth, speaking lies. You don't have to teach kids to lie. They just do it naturally. It doesn't have to be taught. It comes naturally. They go astray from birth, speaking lies. The word ignorance is translated from the Greek word agnoia. The Expositor's Greek Testament says this about that word, agnoia. It is not a term merely of intellect. It denotes an ignorance of divine things, a want of knowledge that is inexcusable and involves moral blindness. It is further defined here not simply as their ignorance, but as an ignorance being in them. Surely a phrase that is neither tautological nor without a purpose, but one that describes their ignorance in respect to its seat. Their alienation had its cause not in something external, casual or superficial, but in themselves, in a culpable ignorance in their own nature or heart. Unquote. It's important to understand that ignorance that is in them comes from hardness of their heart. The unbeliever is not in need of more evidence that God exists. He's in need of a new heart. He's in need of a new heart, not new evidence, new facts. There are no atheists, only hard-hearted truth suppressors. The King James Version translates our text as blindness of their heart. I don't think that's as good of a translation in this case. The problem with that translation is that it suggests an inescapable and therefore a morally blameless inability. And that is not the idea Paul is giving to us. It is the hardness of our heart that causes us to choose blindness, to suppress the truth. People willingly harden themselves against God and against His truth. Ezekiel 36, 25 through 26 says, I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleannesses, and from all your idols I will cleanse you, and I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh, and give you a heart of flesh. That is what happened to the former Gentiles that Paul was writing to. They have had their heart of stone removed, so they need to start acting like it. They must not walk like they were still in the dark, still ignorant, still hard-hearted. Again, the Greek word for ignorance in our text is agnoia, where we get the word agnostic. It means to be without knowledge. It is ironic that agnostics often boast of their great knowledge as if it were their knowledge that led them to their enlightened state of not knowing if there is a God. But Paul traces their spiritual ignorance to something else, to the hardness of their heart. Those who are hard of heart refuse to submit to God, refuse to submit to His word and His commands. Hardness of heart results in not knowing God. And spiritual ignorance due to sin is why unbelievers are cut off and alienated from the life of God. This means that people are not agnostics because they have intellectual problems with the Bible. Instead, they are agnostics because of moral rebellion against God. They want to live as they please, not as God commands, and so they refuse to see God. Agnosticism is not a head problem, it's a heart problem. So the heart of the problem is the hardness of heart. Paul says, don't live that way. As a believer, be seeking daily to know the living God in a more intimate way. Submit every area of your life to Him. Don't let sin harden your heart and produce doubts and spiritual ignorance in your life. He says you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for being our God and being our hope. We thank You, God, for giving us a heart of flesh. We ask, God, that You continue to shine Your light upon us, Father, and help us to be lights to the world. We thank You for making us a city on a hill. And we just glorify You, Father. We ask that You receive all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.